All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, final edition of the show, pre-draft. As I record here on Thursday morning, we are 1 week away when it'll be the Bucks picking 19th, or at least as of now, picking 19th, the Carolina Panthers picking first, and everybody else in between the first round of the NFL draft. It'll be in prime time, this time from Kansas City, and so the process is now over. All the scouting, all the combine, all the evaluations, all the interviews. I guess there's still some guys doing visits. A few people have been posting pictures on Instagram or Twitter of places they've visited. And you'll hear all these reports about so-and-so visited so-and-so. And I mean, it doesn't mean anything. They're all visiting a bunch of people. But yes, all that stuff is now finally in the rearview mirror. We can make some picks. And your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just like every other team, holding a first-round pick, very excited to see what they might come up with. And like I always say, the farther down you go, the less you're able to game out exactly what scenarios you're looking at. There's just so many different things that could happen at pick 19, including a trade up or down. And we'll talk about it all on the show today. So thanks to the Joes for giving me the platform. I always appreciate the chance to be on this website, the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. And thanks to you for listening. If you want to get a hold of me, email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameday, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter, @BobbyGameday, same thing. So let's talk about this draft. There is not a lot of predictability involving the Bucks. In fact, this group of guys over at a Lockdown Podcasts put out a consensus mock draft. Now, you always hear me ripping mock drafts. I know, ripping's not the right word. I just don't get all excited about mock drafts and don't pay a lot of attention to them. But the point is, this consensus one they did basically takes and compiles the results of roughly 1,000 first-round mock drafts. First of all, how in the hell are there 1,000? I mean, I would have thought it, and I think there's too many. I would have thought there was like 50. And I know some of them may be bots or whatever, and they're not all real, but I mean, come on, there's been 1,000 mock drafts put out. But they've compiled the results of roughly 1,000 first-round mock drafts, another 700 team-specific ones, like you get on different, you know, if you're following different accounts on Twitter geared around a certain team, like a lot of us may do with the Bucks. So like 1,700 of these mock drafts, all told. And they came up with a rough mock draft that just kind of gives each team the name that is showing up most in all those mock drafts. For the Bucks, believe it or not, and I was surprised to see this, that name was Will Levis, the quarterback from Kentucky. However, he only showed up in 10% of the mock drafts. I think it was the second lowest total of any of the 32 teams for a second lowest amount of, you know, mock drafts a guy has shown up in that has been the highest, only 10%. But he's the most common for the Bucks. I seriously doubt that is what is going to happen. First of all, most of all, I don't think he'll be there. I think those quarterbacks will go. And now you're hearing that there's always the stuff that comes out the week before. There'll even be the late surprises that come out the day before or the day of. Right now, it's C.J. Stroud. Oh, he blew off the Manning Passing Academy. He didn't do that well in his interviews, refused to take one of the tests, like he was Jim Craig of the U.S. National Hockey Team in 1980 or whatever it was. And hey, I'm sure there are plenty of teams that are going to be A-okay with that if he were to fall on their lap, which he won't. It does appear, and again, nobody knows for sure, but it looks like Carolina might be leaning in the direction of Bryce Young. Either way, wherever he goes, wherever Stroud goes, wherever Anthony Richardson goes, and wherever Levis goes, I seriously doubt 19. And they even have Hendon Hooker saying there's rumors, you know, he's going to be top half first round. There's five guys. We'll see. But the point is, this illustrates not that they're going to take Will Levis as much as it illustrates just how many different ways they could go and the multitudes of players that are a possibility. But to me, and I've told you this before, I'll say it one more time, it comes down to up front, and I think that's the direction the Buccaneers should go. It could be either side of the ball, offensive tackle, edge guy, I think that's what it comes down to. You've heard people say all these different things. I always come back to positional value. I know people like to say, oh, get the best guy available. Why pass on a better player? Don't draft a position, draft a guy. I get that, but you're also trying to project what's going to help your team the most. And at positions of lesser value, someone has to be even more transcendent. It's basically an inverse relationship in order to justify drafting them. And that's what you're hearing about Bijan Robinson, whose stock, and this is another thing about drafts, stock goes up and down. It really doesn't. These are the same guys they were 2 months ago. Nothing has changed. When you hear stock going up and down, it's just people talking going up and down. So, like, Bijan Robinson didn't get better at running back from a month ago when he was still regarded as a very good prospect. But now I'm hearing people say he's the best prospect in the draft. He's top two. He's top this. He's top that. And none of that talk was around a month ago. It isn't because something magical happened. He's still the same guy he was. But now people are talking more. And he's another one, by the way, even though I wouldn't do it. I doubt all 18 of the teams in front of the Bucks agree with me, and I think someone will do it and take him. And I wouldn't like that. I don't want to be the narrow-minded, hard line, no running back, don't care, don't want to hear it. You know, I want to have an open mind, and he's really fun to watch on film and everything like that. But and also in his defense, I should say this too, in his defense, he is a guy who can split into the slot. He can kind of be that hybrid type. He can catch passes, kind of like, I guess, an inverse of Deebo Samuel, who's a receiver who can give you some running back qualities. Robinson's kind of a running back who can give you some receiver qualities. He's not one-dimensional. So, like I said, in his defense, that should be mentioned, but still. And there was an interesting chart, and I wanted to bring it up on the show. It was tweeted out by... Hang on, I'm pulling it up here on my phone, which is incredibly slow. Ben Baldwin, who's a guy I really like to follow on Twitter. He is an analytics guy, but he cuts through a lot of the BS and gives you raw numbers on stuff. And this is an important one to me. He used a method that shows position-specific value curves based on value added to the team. And then he plotted it based on where those positions are drafted. So you can basically what it means, I'll retweet this out on my Twitter if you go to @BobbyGameDay, but just describing it to you. Think of a graph with lines on it. The lines on the x-axis, which is the left to right horizontal one, are what round you're drafted in. And then the y-axis, the up-down, is your value. So really high and then a steep drop means... Those players are good if you draft them high, but if you don't get the first couple that are the best at their position, you might as well just be wasting your time. A flatter line means you can get the pretty much the same quality at that position waiting into later rounds because the quality doesn't drop off later in the draft. Sorry if I butchered the explanation there, but again, go to my Twitter, @BobbyGameDay, and you'll see the tweet for this. Point being, okay, you did it for offense and defense. We throw out quarterbacks. On offense... By far, the most bang for your buck in the first round is with offensive tackles. They can be really good if you draft one of the top few of them. Drafting offensive tackles in round 4 or 5 or whatever, and just to say, okay, well, we got that position shored up, there's depth there, you don't get much value out of that. One of the least important in the first round is tight end, where the line is almost horizontal. You get almost the same value out of first-round tight ends as you do out of third- or fourth-round tight ends. Do not draft a tight end high. And the last time the Bucs picked 19th, by the way, exactly 19th, it was O.J. Howard who they drafted and got not much value out of. This is offense I'm still looking at. Running backs actually are a little more important than tight ends, but still not that important in the first round. And wide receivers are the second most, you know, bang for your buck first round after the offensive tackles. And there in this draft, you've got 4 offensive tackles that are being looked at as first-round guys. Paris Johnson from Ohio State, who likely won't be there when the Bucks pick. And then 3 more guys who could go in a, you know, any combination of order. Broderick Jones from Georgia, Peter Skoronski from Northwestern, Darnell Wright from Tennessee, who's my personal draft crush. And Wright, who, again, may not be there, but one of those three would be there. And Wright's ranked fourth out of the four as far as the general conventional wisdom. Not that that's always right. But Wright is just a monster, 6'5", 333. He played right tackle, and here's where this is important. He played right tackle in 2022, didn't give up any sacks. Pushed around Will Anderson in the game Tennessee played versus Alabama. Locked him down. Will Anderson's a top five guy on the edge, okay? In 2021, he was a left tackle, so he can play both. Only gave up three sacks then. In fact, USF's new head coach, Alex Gullish, was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee when Wright was there. Now, I'm trying to reach for a potential connection. I mean, I'm sure the Bucks have talked to Gullish. But anyway, when you've got Tristan Wirfs, and he was talking about it, they had their, you know, team activities this past week, so players were at one Buck place, and Wirfs said he's trying to work at both, feels like he can do both, talking about right or left tackle, and it's still not definite what's going to happen. The Bucks have a couple options. If they draft this guy or somebody like him, one of those other names I mentioned, then that person can play right tackle, and Wirfs can move to left tackle. They could put Luke Getteke at right tackle, who played right tackle in college, and then actually played, even though, you know, he caught a lot of flack for how he played at guard. He played pretty well at tackle for the one game, is the last game of the regular season against Atlanta, and it's more natural to him. Maybe he can be serviceable. Maybe the Bucks have seen improvement there, and they're willing to ride with him on one side and Wirfs on the other. We'll see, but to me, if you're just standing pat at 19 and nothing else is going on with trades or anything like that, and Darnell Wright from Tennessee is there, that's extremely good value. And remember, I'm not saying this is how it's going to go because it went this way before, but you remember a few years ago when we were drafting Tristan Wirfs, and I remember coming on this show and he was my draft cry. You know, everybody's got one guy every year. They're like, ooh, I hope we draft him. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I will freely admit, even though it may shatter any remaining credibility I still have with anybody listening here, I will freely admit I was all about Johnny Manziel. That was the year we drafted Mike Evans, right? So yeah, you know, likely future Hall of Famer. I thought Manziel was going to be the guy, man. I loved his moxie, thought he could play, thought he was going to take the NFL by storm. I said all those things, okay? And I'll own it. I'll never not own it. I'll say it to you right here. I did that. I've been right before as well. And my reference, I'm saying, like, Tristan Wirfs, you remember, like, we were talking about him and saying, oh, my God, this guy. And then where the Bucks were picking, I was like, well, they're going to get one of them. Remember there was four tackles that year, too? And it was like, okay, they're going to get one of them, but, you know, probably not Wirfs. He should be, I thought, one of the first ones taken. He ended up being the last tackle standing in the first round, and the Bucks and I was absolutely giddy. And then they made that trade up one spot. Remember, just to be safe, they gave up a fourth rounder. And I said, look, nobody's going to care about a fourth rounder. If this is really the guy you want, if he ends up being good, nobody's going to say boo about it 5 minutes from now or after he starts playing and he's good. Nobody will care. And we don't. Do you care about that fourth round pick? Of course not. You got a future Hall of Famer in Wirfs. If he keeps playing at the level that he's been playing at for at least a few more years, and you're not going to draft a Hall of Famer every time, but it's the same type of scenario. I mean, if Darnell Wright is the last tackle standing there at 19, and they've got him ranked fourth in a lot of cases, I don't know what every team's got their own board. Every team, whatever you see on Twitter as far as anybody on Twitter, any media members' personal rankings and stuff like that, and they may reflect some things they've heard or people they've talked to with teams, but every team's got their own deal, and you don't know what it is, okay? You don't know anything they don't want you to know. So don't overcomplicate it. Take the tackle. Unless there's a wild wrinkle thrown in there, like you know, Will Levis drops. I told you this with quarterbacks, too. I told you this. You can not necessarily love a quarterback and still draft him. You didn't think you'd have a chance to draft him, and he's there. I mean, I don't personally love Will Levis. I was unimpressed watching him this is a little bit biased because I was watching him in person against Florida. I was kind of focused on that one game. You have to look at all the games, and there's been plenty of research done on all these guys, but I remember hearing about Will Levis before that Florida-Kentucky game back in the fall. My wife and my two kids, we all went to the game. It was like, hey, people were telling me, hey, you're going to see the possible number one overall pick tonight. And I was like, eh. I mean, I had heard of Levis. He was just still coming on the scene. I was like, let's go check it out. You know, I mean, that's not why we went to the game, but we went to see the Gators. So it ended up being a total shit show. The Gators lost one of their worst games of the year, I thought. But they lost because their offense couldn't produce. Florida's defense, who was terrible last year, by the way, that was one of the only games they played well. Levis didn't do anything. Levis made one, like, big bomb throw downfield that was an impressive physical display, and the guy caught it in, like, traffic, like, two defenders, and I don't even think he caught it. I think it hit the ground, but the reviews were inconclusive, so they gave him a touchdown. And other than that, nada, nothing, okay? And he, I think the Tennessee game was another one. He just didn't show up in a lot of their games. Obviously, the physical talents are all there. I'm not going to break down Will Levis or any other quarterback on this show because you can get that done to death anywhere this time of year. My point being, even as down as I am on, I don't want to say I'm down on him, but even as unimpressed as I was, hey, potential franchise quarterback, is it worth rolling the dice? I wouldn't get mad because here's my reasoning. It's not because I think he'll be good. It's because I have a very healthy respect for how wrong I can be and how wrong everybody else can be. You don't know. And with the quarterback position, it's so important that it might be worth taking a gamble if a guy falls to you just because, hey, why not? What if he ends up being Josh Allen? He might end up being Carson Wentz, too. But what if he ends up being Josh Allen? You don't know. Like, nobody knows. No, I don't care. People say, oh, well, I know football. You may be a podcast, but I'm a scout. I'm doing this and that. I know it. Hey, fine. Nobody knows, man. So I wouldn't get mad on you. You're basically saying, and this is a rough analogy, but you're basically saying, here, I can hand you a $20 bill right now. You can take that $20 bill, or I'll give you a 1 out of 3 shot of this envelope. It's either going to have $0 in it or $500 in it. Which one do you want? And the dollar amounts could vary. But my point is, you know, even though there's a 2 out of 3 chance I probably get nothing, maybe I take that chance anyway on the chance I get 500 or 1,000 or something like that instead of getting what I know is 20 bucks, which is nobody's going to complain. Again, you can change the dollar values. But the point is, you can draft that offensive tackle. Okay, hey, going to be all right. I think, and even those are not safe picks. Nobody knows anything for sure, but quarterbacks especially can be very volatile as far as the wide range of where they could end up being in their futures. You take more of a safer thing at a position that is very important and a guy you know you can plug and play, and there's your starter. Now, all of a sudden, you've got two really solid starters at tackle. That's pretty good, okay? Not a lot of teams in the NFL have that, and if you have a chance to do that just by simply making a pick at number 19 overall, that ain't a bad thing. But if, for whatever reason, you have a chance to get one of those four quarterbacks, even if it's not specifically the one you thought was the best one or not. And I'll throw Hendon Hooker in there, so one of those five quarterbacks. Even if you're wrong, it's not a bad idea. Like I've said before on this show, quarterback is too important of a position. I wouldn't blame anybody for drafting one at various points in the draft every year because you just don't know. You just don't know. And you need to, you know, be able to have the more ping pong balls in the hopper, the more odds that one of them ends up coming up for you, and there you go, you got a quarterback. Which we had the past 3 years, right? That was cool. Wasn't that cool? Like, that was pretty good. I like doing that. Let's try doing that more often because that's how you win in the NFL. That's not the only way, of course, but that's the main, you know, the quarterback head coach combo. So I wouldn't be averse to it. I would not be. Don't look me in the eye right now. I know this is a podcast. Look me in the eye right now. And let's say it happened. They drafted Will Levis. I mean, it could be Richardson or whoever. I'm using Will Levis as an example. I think if any of them were to fall, it'd be him. But even if you didn't think you liked him, even if you weren't planning on even remotely confronting that possibility in your mind or anything like that, and then all of a sudden it happened, you wouldn't at least talk yourself into, hey, maybe. I mean, I'm already doing it now. We haven't even done it yet. If we did it, I could talk myself into Levis in probably 10, 15 seconds. I could be like, I could sell myself on this. Yes, this is the guy. And you would too. And, you know, the roadside of drafts past is littered with people, you know, guys thought, you know, Heath Shuler types. Not to pick on him, he's just one example. But my point is, the roadside's littered with those. You're more likely to get one of those than to get a guy like Patrick Mahomes or like Josh Allen or like Tom Brady or, you know, Peyton Manning or whoever. But still maybe worth taking a shot. I don't know. We'll see if it all comes out that way. But it's going to be fun either way. You know, we've been without football now since the Super Bowl, which was early February. So what is that? It's been a couple of months. This obviously isn't football, but I'll take anything. And the draft is something I always, me and my buddies, you know, we do things as a group. This thing is mine. This one's always at my house. Like, we have the, you know, all my buddies come over. We do it every year. Been doing it for years. You know, Super Bowl, usually not here. Super Bowl's usually at another friend's house or whatever. There's different sporting events around the year where we gather together. NFL draft is always at my house. And I'm busting out the little mini football helmets. I got the whole league, although I don't. I think I have some old ones, too, to account for teams with multiple picks in the first round. But I will set up each team in order of their pick with the little mini helmets. We'll get the TV going out by the pool. We'll have it on inside. We'll get some food. If I have time, I used to do this, you know, you get busier, you have kids, but now I can do it with my kids and they have fun with it. We'll bust out the big cardboard, you know, sign, and I chart, you know, the top four or five guys at each position, hang it up on the wall next to the TV, and then we get up and cross each name off as they get picked just to see what the situation looks like as we're going into every pick. So like I always tell you on this show, it's all about having an excuse to get together with friends. Social relationships are hugely important in life, and when you get older and you have families and jobs and things, the guys you hung out with in college or in high school and in your 20s, you kind of start hanging out with them less, and it hurts you. So use it as if whoever, just call them up, say, hey, come on over Thursday night. We'll get some food, we'll get whatever. We'll sit and watch the draft. It's going to be a great sports night. I believe the Lightning play that night as well, unless they sweep the Maple Leafs, which is still in play. But that's game five that night, I'm pretty sure. So you'll have that, you'll have the draft, you'll have a Rays game, and turn it into Friday, Saturday night. You know, the weekend begins on the Thursday afternoon of the NFL draft. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. And then after that, I guess there'll be the schedule release. That's usually about 2 weeks after the draft, so we can look forward to that. And then, you know, we're looking forward. It's not far, folks. Then we're into May, and what is it, about two and a half months? And it's training camp again, and the circle of life continues, baby. Not that we don't have plenty to keep us occupied, because we got the Rays playing really well. Hopefully the Lightning playoff run is extended beyond the first round. That's going to be really tough, even with, as I broadcast right now, a 1-0 series lead. It may be 1-1 by the time you hear this. Hopefully not. But there's that. It's Kentucky Derby in 2 weekends. One of my favorites. And, you know, all through the summer, there'll be stuff. NBA, if you're into that, their playoffs are going to. Whatever it is, you know, we're not far off. I mean, once we get into May here, then it's, what, two and a half, you know, months, and it's time for training camp again. And we're here. I probably won't do my show next week on Thursday. There's no point. We've covered, you know, we don't need to go back over it again. Just wait till they make a pick. So maybe I'll wait till Friday and then do the show. Then that's what I usually do after the draft. And we'll know more about what's going on with whatever the Buccaneers end up doing, whether it's a trade up, a trade down, a pick at number 19, an offensive tackle, a quarterback, other. We have no idea. And that's kind of what makes it fun. And so, you know, I'd rather be picking 32nd than 5th. 19th is somewhere in the middle. But the Bucs have a chance to get a really good player. And we have a good, like, here's another thing I forgot to mention before we get away from the draft, okay? There was a compilation, and this was tweeted by Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus. And I always like data. I always like comprehensive stuff. I always like stuff that covers, you know, long periods of time. So they went back and looked at each team's general managers, basically, and I'll retweet this too on my account. This was a graph, team draft success accounting for positional value and weighted by round. And this is percentile outcomes for each draft pick between 2017 and 2022. Basically, how well have you drafted the past 5 years against the rest of the league? Nobody hits all the time. But the number one team was the Chiefs. Number two was the Bucs and Jason Light. And actually, the Falcons were number three, if you believe that. And if you look at the graph, there's more detail there. It's got lots of colors and dots. It's retweeted at Bobby Game Day. Check it out. And that, he covers day one picks, day two picks, and day three picks. And the Bucs have been actually very good on day three in particular. And that won't be till the weekend, next weekend. But Jason Light's done a good job all around for the most part. And there's a reason besides Tom Brady that this team was competitive for the last 3 years and that could possibly stay competitive now. We'll see what they end up doing here, but they've got the pieces to not be awful, even in the midst of a rebuild. Obviously, the quarterback situation is something that will come more into focus once training camp starts. And we haven't talked much about Devin White either. I know Devin White, that whole thing going on with him. Devin White, who the Bucs have said they have no intention to trade, and that could still change. Hey, what if someone makes you a deal in the draft and they, you know, you see a guy you want to move up, and they say, okay, well, you can move up eight spots and give us Devin White. You know, and it would save him a little bit of cap space too. I think Devin White's main problem, here's my, and Devin White has had mixed results. He's had an up and down career so far. But, you know, he waited pretty late in the process to come out with this. And second of all, he could have just been better, or maybe he couldn't have. He could have tried to be better. But, like, do you guys remember that tape that Warren Sapp put out on Instagram? Not that one game defines Devin White, because it doesn't. But after the Baltimore game, that Thursday night game, and then Warren Sapp the next day on Instagram is showing Devin White loafing and jogging and completely misreading plays when he's even trying to read them at all. And it was bad. It was very damning. Say what you want about Warren Sapp or not, but it was nothing he put on there wasn't already on film, and his commentary was correct. And so you can't go out and do stuff like that and then sit around and wonder where your $100 million contract is. I think it's actually something that the Bucs, I mean, are willing. They know we want to keep him. They're giving him a chance to, you know, play it out this year and get that contract next year, whether it's here or somebody else. But I actually would, if I had the opportunity, I would take it and move him. Off the ball linebacker, fine, you know. Not that I'm trying to diminish anyone's importance, but if they're, I wouldn't mind it. Let's put it that way. And then beyond that, oh, there's the tonight. Well, you, by the time this gets posted on Joe Bucks Fan, it may have already happened, but 10 p.m. Thursday night, tonight, Eastern Time, Arizona Cardinals revealing their new uniforms. And like any other new uniform reveal, I am wincing and, like, you know, just bracing for something horrible, because that's usually what Nike does. Although, I'll say this. I mean, the Cardinals uniforms now are bad. But they're only bad because they have stupid little piping and these little weird stripes and just dumb stuff that never looked good. But again, this is why I always hold my breath, because these people come up with the most idiotic designs. But anyway, I'm glad to see they're changing that. But what they really just need to do is tweak a couple things in a minor way. They have a beautiful helmet, an iconic helmet. The plain white with the Cardinal logo and the gray face mask is great. I hope they don't mess with that. They're going to come out with some idiotic black version of their uniform, which they already had with their other ones too, I'm sure. I just feel like it's going to be dumb, because these designers are bad. And in general, people have bad taste too. A lot of people will say they think they're dope, or fire, or the flame emojis. Yeah, you could come up with anything. You could literally just, you know, put excrement in a box and, like, hand it to somebody and say, this is our new uniform. And people are like, these are fire, dude. It's time to keep up with the times, man. You can't just be old school traditional, you know? You got to stay with it. That type of thing. So anyway, we'll see how that goes. With that said, email me, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can catch me at BobbyGameDay. If you're looking for a new vehicle, whether it be a car, truck, or van, brand new, pre-owned, whatever it is, I encourage you to go to BillCurryFord.com. They spell Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check out everything there. You'll see the completely transparent, no-haggle online pricing. You can go in person after that. Maybe you get a feel for what's out there, and then go see them a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Remember, whatever you get there, whatever you get, brand new or pre-owned, you're going to get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. You are covered for engine trouble when you buy a vehicle from Bill Curry Ford. As long as you still own the vehicle, it could be years after you buy it there, you can bring it back into the service center and they will take care of it. So check them out a mile north of Raymond James on Dale Mabry, or you can, again, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. And that's it, folks. I'll talk to you guys next week, and we'll know by then exactly how the first round went down for both the Bucks and for the rest of the league. Let's go ahead and, like I said, depend on the dependables. Keep it simple. Let's beef up front. It's the first step. It's not just about 2023, okay? It's about long-term stuff. Take care of what needs to be taken care of. Put someone on the other side of Tristan Wirfs. That's my recommendation. But we'll see what actually happens. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to the Joes at JoeBucksFan.com for giving me this platform. The best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, for Bucks coverage. Be safe, have fun this weekend, enjoy all the sports going on, and let's go Lightning in Game 2 tonight, wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.